All right, I got that part out of the way. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. That's where we're going to be today. Luke, chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 8. So let's all stand as we read God's word together this morning. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it shall come to pass that the angels were gone from them to heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful today for the Christmas story. We're thankful that the Christmas story does not stop with a baby in a manger, but it goes on to the glorious resurrection morning that we celebrate when Jesus powerfully, victoriously walked out of the tomb, taking death, grave, and the keys of hell, and brought them with him. And he proclaimed that no longer does the gates of hell can prevail against the church. Lord, we are thankful for the Christmas story. It is a wonderful story of a child given. As I say, Isaiah said that a baby was given, a child was born, a son was given. Father, it's the beginning of a long promise of God that started at the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, when you promised them that a seed would come that would deliver them, that would crush the enemy's head. And Father, we're thankful that you called Abraham out from a land of paganism into faith in the living God of glory. We're thankful, Lord, that he was obedient and followed you. And through his lineage, you brought the Savior of the world. And through him, all of us can rejoice this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the message today. Help me as I bring this message. Help me present it the way that you would have it presented. I pray that I'd preach this as if it's the last time I'd have a privilege of preaching the Word of God. I pray your will to be done this morning. I pray you draw us to the peace of Christ that comes through salvation. I pray, Lord, that you draw us to the cross where that peace was finalized. And I pray you draw us to the grave where we can see victoriously that Christ is risen. Lord, we honor you in all that you do this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning about sheep, shepherd, and a Savior. Now the Bible tells us here, and we you know, the Bible is don't go into a whole lot of detail of the birth of Christ. It don't give you all the factors. So we have sort of placed in from history in the early church things about the birth of Christ, that it's a beautiful story of how a woman who was found to be holy before the Lord, and he chose her to bear that promised gift that he had promised Eve many, many thousands of years prior to that. And because of her coming into this world and being obedient to follow the God of Abraham, and through her, God gave the promise to all of us. But here we find here that the Bible says that the sheep, we want to look at the sheep to begin with. The Bible says that there was a group of men known as shepherds, and they were there near Bethlehem watching the flock by night. Now, something is unique about this because, first of all, Bethlehem is not just a name that was thrown out. It has such great importance because the Bible tells us that in Bethlehem, in the Old Testament prophecy, that's where Israel would bear the king that would reign forever and ever. And out of Bethlehem, that promise of God was going to come. The word Bethlehem actually means the house of bread. So Jesus was actually born in the house of bread because he was the bread of life. But it was important here at Jerusalem, or at Bethlehem, which was just a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary had made a long 70-mile journey, making their way over to Bethlehem to be registered to pay their taxes. They were a part of the David's family, and so they had to go back to where David was the town of David. So they went back to the city of David, there to make their obedience to the law that was given, that they must go and register so that they could be taxed. But we find there an interesting story, that just outside of Bethlehem that night, whatever time frame it was, whether it was when they first arrived or whether it was a short time later, that Mary began to feel the labor pains, and she began to deliver what is known to us as the Lamb of God. There in the house of God, or the city of God, just outside the city of God, in the city of David, there was one who was the bread of life being birthed into the house of David as the promise of God, as the Lamb that was being saved. You notice the Bible first tells us, it don't say, well, you know, in a place we find Joseph and Mary. Now, the first thing mentioned here is the sheep and the shepherds. Here, the sheep was found at this place known as Migdal Edar. And there at Migdal Edar was a tower. You might see it here in your in the video here, of the act of a tower. This is known as the Tower of Edar, just outside of Bethlehem. In between Bethlehem and Jerusalem is a tower. And the purpose of that tower was those shepherds had a very important job, because those sheep that they were watching belonged to the high priest. In this day, even in the day that Jesus was born, those that the sheep that were from Jerusalem that wandered out into the wilderness belonged to the high priest. And there was literally thousands of sheep, it's believed, that was there that they were keeping watch over. And these towers was built around the watch area so that the shepherds could climb up into the tower and keep watch over the sheep. Number one, it was important because they didn't want the enemy to get to the sheep. Certainly they didn't want the high priest's sheep to be stolen. They didn't want the high priest's sheep to be killed by bears or by lions or whatever, other wolves or whatever. And so they had these towers, and they would keep watch over there. In the bottom of these towers was a room. At the bottom of those towers was a room that the shepherds used while they watched the sheep. So that in the bottom of this tower, if they had a sheep that was having trouble being delivered, they carried that sheep to the bottom of that great tower that was the watchtower of the sheep. And they would carry those sheep, or the sheep in that was about to bear that lamb that maybe might be having difficulty or an extremely freezing cold night. And they would carry them in there, and in the bottom of that tower, many sheep had been born right there in the bottom of those towers. And around that tower, at the lower part of the tower, was a place that was laid out, and inside the tower as well was a cutout place that was known as the manger, or the trough. Actually, the manger was actually no more than a feeding trough. Now, this is just one thought, is this tower, that's amazing to me, that tower that was used not only to watch the sheep of the high priest, but the tower to protect the sheep of the high priest, a tower to protect the birthing of some of those sheep that was found hard to be birthed during that particular time. And it was unique that Jesus, that the story of these shepherds came from the field that sheep were being watched. And the sheep that were being watched there were unique in their selves, because they were sheep that was approved by the high priest to be fit for sacrifice. Now, isn't it amazing how the story begins with the shepherds watching the sheep of God? As the sheep of God was to be born, that the shepherds were there to oversee, to see the majesty of God being glorified there before the people. But we must understand something as well about the shepherds. Those shepherds were unique men. They were hard men. They were tough men. Oh, they were men that weren't afraid to protect the sheep. They'd put their life on the line for the sheep. They were known, we find from David, that David killed a lion and a bear protecting the sheep of his father. And so these men were not timid men. They were rugged men. They were hard men. They were committed men that was committed to the protection of that sheep, whether it belonged to them or whether it belonged here in this case to the high priest. They were unique men that really were not very well respected, because their particular jobs, certainly the Talmud, which is a treaty of the Sanhedrin, says this. It tells us that the shepherds were not even allowed to be into the court of witnesses in the temple. Their job was just considered to make them unclean or unfit for temple worship. They had a lot to go through to be able to come into the temple to worship. They had a lot of cleansing. They had a lot of work. They had a lot of ritual that they had to get through in order to get in to worship the God of glory. And so these men were considered unclean. In the in one of the treaties of the Avdad Zera is the particular treaty. Here's what it says. It says no help was to be given to the heathen or to the shepherds. In other words, they were just despised because their job was really unclean. The Mishnah tells us that the sheep intended for daily sacrifice in the temple were to be fed in the pastures by Bethlehem. So I want you to get this picture. Here, all around where Jesus was born, there in the city of Bethlehem, there where the Lord of all glory came into this world, where the Lamb of God was, that city was where was recognized by the people of Israel, that's where the sacrificial lambs come from, out from the city of David, when that sacrifice was made. And yet the Bible tells us that the Lamb of God was to become out of the city of David, out of Bethlehem. Isn't it wonderful how when God, listen, that's the kind of God we serve. We don't serve a God of mystery. We serve a God of great power. We serve a God that 2,000, 4,000 years before anything happens, he already knows what's happening. You know why? Because he's not a God of time. He's not a God of space. He is a God of greatness. He is a God of mighty. He is a God of power. He is a God that is omniscient. He is a God that is omnipresent. He is a God which time cannot confine him. So what is happening right now, he knew about it 4,000 years ago. Or what will happen if he tarries 4,000 years from now? He knows exactly what is happening. You know why? Because he's already there. We serve a God that is always present. We don't have to worry. When I come to the church, can I find the presence of God? Guess what? He's already here. He's already here. Don't worry whenever you hear some kind of bad diagnosis and they say, well, you know, you've got to face this or you've got to face that. Understand this, God's already there. That's why he said out of the city. See, he put everything together to make sense so that Israel could understand that the Savior of the world was coming from Bethlehem and he was the Lamb of God. And he was overseen by the shepherds of God. And there they glorified him. What a marvelous God we have. What a marvelous story this is to tell, because no one in their right mind would ever think of anything other than the beauty of this story. But it was sort of a shock. You know, Israel had long looked for David's descendant to come and ascend to the throne. They weren't looking for him to be a sheep or the Lamb of God. They were looking for him to be the warrior of God. That's who they were looking for. And so it just didn't make sense to the average person that God would send a child in Bethlehem, which was the city of the sacrifices, and out of there, instead of coming from there, just 5 or 6 miles down the road was Jerusalem. Was the temple of God, was where the high priest of God lived, where the king of Israel was, although he wasn't really king, just a few miles away. Why not pull somebody from that which had that position, maybe on the Sanhedrin court, one of those scribes, one of those Pharisees that was well respected, that was so engrossed in the religion that they completely missed the relationship? Why not draw from the city of Jerusalem instead of out of the shepherd's town of Bethlehem? That made sense to nobody. But why did God choose to do that? Because you would think those intelligent giants of the faith would be the ones that the child would come from. No, it wasn't like that. It came from the lowliness of a manger. It came from some of the poorest folks of all. They were Nazarenes. Oh yeah, they were from of the lineage of David, but they were Nazarenes. Mary was a descendant of David. Joseph, a descendant of David. The lineage went all the way back, and they traced the history all the way back to Adam, who was the Son of God. And yet here, listen. Still missed the fact that they were poor and impoverished and living in Nazareth, where they said nothing good comes from Nazareth. And yet he made that journey. They knew these things. They expected these things, but it did not play out exactly the way they thought it would. Have you ever had anything not play out the way you think it would? When you already had your plans of how things were to be, you already had communicated with God, or at least we thought we had, and we thought we had the right answer, and we thought that maybe because I said this particular prayer and I said it this way, and that God's going to do exactly. So I got my plan all made out, and I know exactly how it's going to be. And then when it happens, it's nothing like what we anticipated. Matter of fact, to begin with, it can even shake us if we're not careful with our faith. Because often we ask ourselves, why would God do that? Why would God allow that? Had anybody ever been there? Anybody ever thought those things? And if we're not careful, it will shake our faith. Can you imagine what some of those Dr. Snodgrass and all those people in Jesus' day thought when he said, oh, he's born in a manger. What do you mean they put him in a feeding trough? Instead of a golden cradle? It just don't come out the way we expect it to come out. But listen to me, we serve a sovereign God. It might not be the way we want it to be, but it's exactly the way God has allowed it to happen so that two things will happen. Number one, he'll be glorified in it. And number two, that we can see his hand in it instead of ours. That's the way God works. He works through the avenue of the sheep because we don't expect the sheep to be anything more than a sheep. But on that night, there was one sheep that was born, and that sheep was the Lamb of God. And then there's the shepherds. David was a shepherd boy. Yet through him, we saw the fearlessness of him, not just because of his labor that had happened in the watching the father's sheep, we see that David had a unique power. We know that through David, he killed the lion, he killed the bear. How many wolves had he run off? How many times had he took his staff and beat away a predator or maybe a thief that was trying to steal a sheep? But David had something in him. Some of it because of his ability, because he was certainly good with a slingshot, wasn't he? With a rock and a sling, David was pretty good. How many meals had he eaten from that sling and a stone? How many animals had he run off from killing a sheep with that sling and a stone? God was just preparing him. He thought he was being prepared to take care of sheep, but God was preparing him for the giants that would come in his life. God was preparing him for those giants that would come. And see, David was moved, yeah, and God used, now listen, God used David's ability to sling that sling. He was accurate. When David picked up that stone from the creek and started walking to that giant, David was confident in himself, but he was more confident in the God that he was going to do battle for. There's probably a few times David missed, and believe me, on Goliath, there was a very small target for him to hit, for he was covered completely with armor. But that rock found that perfect little place that brought the giant in David's life and an enemy of Israel to his knees. And David took his head. These sheep, shepherds were men. And some of them were moved by the word of God. Some of them were moved by the promises of God. Some of them were moved because they knew that God had said it and that was an absolute guarantee. How often do we live like what God has said is a guarantee? Very little. Christians today don't live like what God's word has the power to do anything other than to entertain us, maybe. But the truth is, God's word has the power to change kingdoms. God's word has the power to change the most wretched. God's word has the power to change the heart of the stoniest heart that man could have and give him a heart of flesh that feels compassion. See, these shepherds, they were men, but they served a God that was greater than man. Yeah, they were watching the sheep, but God had another task for them that night. See, because maybe of faithfulness, I don't know. This is just something I've thought. Maybe because of their faithfulness, they had a unique job that other shepherds didn't have. They had to bring the sheep to the high priest. They had seen the rituals of the church. They knew how to do church. How many of us Baptists, how many of us non-Baptists, how many of us people in this world know how to do church but don't know how to do Jesus? It's easy for us to walk in the church. The music's playing. The songs are on the board. Just sing a few songs. Let's do our thing, and we never really encounter anything but songs and not the Savior. We come in, our lives are burdened and heavy, and we walk out, guess what? Our lives are still burdened and heavy because we've not met Jesus. We've not should we dare say, be entertained? It's almost as if we think Jesus is one of those puppets on a string. Here's my time, Lord. Do your thing, because I'm about to put you back in the box. And you're not going to interfere in the rest of my life this week, but we're going to move forward this morning. Just entertain me. But shepherds of God, watch over the things of God with passion and a heavy desire to please God. God chose those men that was already marked unfit, marked unclean, marked unholy by the religious system. And God chose them to be the worshipers that was brought to the manger at Jesus, that they might kneel by him and worship him. See, he does the same thing for us. There's not a one of us in here that's clean. There's not a one of us in here that's fit. Most of us struggle. Now listen, most of us struggle even with church attendance. Some of us just can't find the place to slide him in there. We're unfit. We're unworthy. We're unclean. God chose the shepherds to come and worship the Savior. He's chosen us. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. The Bible says no man seeks after God. God seeks us. Yes, we're unclean. Yes, we're unworthy. But oh, when we meet the Savior. Oh, when we have that encounter with the God of glory. When we meet the bread of life. When we meet the Lamb of God. Our life really changes. And then I can't find enough energy because I want to do so much for him. And we can't find that energy. And I don't mean that negatively, because every one of us in here would say this: if I had just more energy, I would do more for him. And as we grow older, here's a burden on my heart right now. As I'm growing older, and I'm old as dirt almost, as I'm growing older and I look at the church members as we're growing older, we need the young people to stand up. We need some young shepherds. We need some young sheep watchers. We need some people that are willing to feed the sheep, to be instant in season and out of season, because us old goats are losing energy. God needs some shepherds to watch his flock. The one that the Lamb of God died for. Jesus said, look at the fields. They're white in the harvest. Many say, you know, we'll wait for the harvest. No, we'll wait till the harvest time. No. Jesus announced that harvest time. The fields are already white. He says, but where are the laborers? If the old goats aren't reaching and the young sheep, shepherds, are not reaching, who's reaching? If we're not inviting to come and see the Savior, come at the feet of the Savior at the manger, come at the risen Lord, who's going to do it? And where is our next generation going to find themselves whenever the shepherds of the sheep have strayed? My call is to the young men and the young women of the church to rise up and be shepherds of God's sheep. And us old goats will help you. For we have dreamed dreams, we have seen visions, and yet now it's more dream than vision. Where is the ones at Jesus' feet? And there's the angels. They made their appearance, and the Bible says they were afraid. The Bible says, King James says, they were sore afraid. Well, that just means that they were scared out of their wits. They were trembling. Have you ever been scared out of your wits? When you literally, you ever had one of those dreams where you dreamed that you were screaming for help and you couldn't make a sound? Anybody ever had one of them dreams? That's the way these guys were. Nothing was coming out. They were scared. The mud was scared out of them. Here the angel of the Lord said, lo, unto you this night in the city of David, a child is born, a Savior is born. And they begin to shake in their boots. But listen, it didn't shake them to the place of unbelief. It drawed them to awakening, just as the Holy Spirit does one. Listen, the Bible uses the word that means to be shaken by the Spirit of God. These men were shaken by the Spirit of God. And they longed to see what that shaking was about. That's where we need to be. When the Spirit of God shakes us, awakes us unto Him, we should seek Him with all of our heart. That Savior that came did not come on December the 25th. And you say, well, how do you know that? I don't. I do know this day. When the Savior came, there was no such thing as a calendar. Did you know that? When Jesus came, there was no such thing as a calendar, because there never was a time when He was not. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was before time was ever made. He was here long before December 25th. He was here before the foundation of the world. That's the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. See, I had issues with that when I was young, because I thought Jesus was just born there. I didn't realize it was God in the flesh. I never read John chapter 1. I just thought the baby was born, and hey, now we got a Savior. No. It was God came into this world. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the baby that was in the manger that those sheep were being sacrificed for. They, as the manger where those shepherds were keeping watch, this was the manger where the bread of life was laid. This is the manger where God invaded man on this earth. That's the Savior. He's the most important of the sheep and of the shepherd. But isn't it funny? He's referred to as the Good Shepherd. And he says this about his sheep. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. You ain't got to worry. If you're his sheep, you will follow him, because you will hear his voice and follow him. If you're involved in something that you're not following him in, it's because you're not hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That's when you know you've had an encounter with that little baby in a manger. See, he's the sheep. He's the shepherd. He's the Savior. All in one. And he's the one for us. So this Christmas, let's not forget who he is. He's the God of creation. The Bible says in John chapter 1, there was nothing made that was not made by him. He's the creator. You know why he's the creator? Because he's God. And he became flesh, and we beheld his glory. You know why? Because he's God. He's God that intervened in man's calamity. And that calamity was sin. And he delivered us by faith. Father, thank you for this day. We're grateful for your grace. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. May we be enlightened with the truth of who you are. Lord, what a wonderful story of the shepherds keeping watch and Jesus coming into this world and them going to worship him, to see that marvelous thing. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, I pray that they'd come today saying, I'm not sure, I've never knelt before him and confessed that I was a sinner. I've never asked him to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life and to make me new. That today, Lord, they would say that. I pray your will to be done at this time of invitation. May you be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand on our feet, Brother Fred's going to come lead us in a song. Invitation is open this morning. If you don't know Jesus, come. Learn of him. If you do know him, maybe come around the altar and thank him for who he is. That he's the Lamb. He's the Shepherd. And he's the Savior. The altar's open as we sing.